speak of the race to the American West, and images come to mind of Lewis and Clark traveling up the Missouri River, of prairie schooners on the Oregon Trail. Well, for George Washington, the race to the West was up the Potomac River. Washington owned property as far from his Virginia home as western Pennsylvania, and he fervently believed that America's future lay in connecting the Atlantic coast to the hinterland beyond the Appalachian Mountains by way of the Potomac. Joel Achenbach's new book, The Grand Idea, traces a westward trek George Washington made on horseback in 1784. Washington was no longer commanding the army, and he was not yet president, and as Achenbach tells it, he set out to explore the waterway that he thought led to America's future.
It's not the biggest river, but it is a significant river. It's about 395 miles long. At its mouth, at the Chesapeake Bay, it's about 7 miles wide. At its source, at what's called the Fairfax Stone, that's out in the western tip of Maryland, out in the Allegheny Plateau. And the river, it has kind of an arcing shape to it, where it flows up north almost to the Pennsylvania line, really within sniffing distance a couple of times, and then goes back down to the southeast.
And as the Potomac comes down past the Great Falls and the Little Falls, there was no Washington, D.C. in those days, so it would have gone past Georgetown, Maryland, and then a few miles farther downriver, Alexandria, Virginia, which Washington imagined would be the great port on the Atlantic coast of the U.S.
Absolutely. The idea was that the Potomac, if it became the great commercial artery of the country, it would turn Alexandria into maybe what's now New York City. I mean, the equivalent of that.
One measure of how hard it was to communicate from point to point in newly independent America was that George Washington owned all this property all the way almost to Pittsburgh or as far as Pittsburgh. And when he finally traveled out to look at it, he discovered, to his astonishment, there were squatters living all over it. He had no idea.
Yeah, he was pretty mad about it, too. He rides up out of nowhere. Imagine if you're a squatter. You've, for years now, have been hacking out a place to grow your crops, and you've built your barn, you have your cabin, and suddenly who rides up? The most famous American, George Washington himself, rides up and says, wait a second, this is my land.
And the squatters, in this case, who happened to be members of a Presbyterian sect called the Seceders, they had no idea. They thought they checked out the property and that it was theirs. They owned it free and clear.
They disputed Washington's claim to the land, and he says to them, you know, I'm going to eject you from this land. And they say, fine, you know, we'll stand for the suit. And he says, no, I want you to stand up one by one and say your name and tell me to my face that you're going to stand for this lawsuit. And they do. One by one, they stand up and they defy the most powerful American at the time. And it's a very dramatic moment. And Washington then pursues the case with incredible aggressiveness, writes all these letters to his lawyer saying, you know, sue them. You know, do whatever you can for trespassing, get the back rent. He really shows that he does care about his land, his western land, at the same time that he also has in his mind these larger national interests and these national concerns about what can we do to make this country survive.
And it's hard to imagine the most challenging outward-bound project being conceived today in the American wilderness that would compare in terms of hazard and risk with what Washington, a man in, I guess, his 50s at this point, is undertaking virtually alone.
Yeah, it's a very courageous and intrepid journey he takes in 1784, and a dangerous one. His original plan is to go all the way down the Ohio in canoes eventually, but he has to turn back because the Indians are waiting for him. They were going to ambush him, according to information he got, so he had to turn back. And this was not an idle threat because his land agent, the person who surveyed that land in western Pennsylvania, had already been captured and burned at the stake. And so he turns back, and instead of going down the Ohio, he goes into some very remote backcountry in what's now West Virginia, surveying the possible portages between the rivers that flow into the Mississippi and those that flow into the Potomac. He's a tough guy. He's a tough traveler. You know, there's that moment when he's really in an incredibly remote place. He's trapped in a torrential downpour and has to sleep out in the woods with only his cloak for shelter. But he doesn't complain. You know, he's not a complaining type. He, you know, even in his diary, he says, well, we learned some stuff about the geography today that's really useful.
Joel Achenbach, thank you very much for talking with us.
Great, thank you.
Joel Achenbach is author of The Grand Idea, George Washington's Potomac and the Race to the West.